A new survey finds there are still plenty of easy targets for spammers. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. I'm John Gordon. The Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group, a consortium of companies fighting spam, says 12% of internet users sometimes open email messages they know to be spam because they're interested in the product being pitched. Still, many more users say they open spam messages by mistake or ask to be removed from a spammer's list. Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group Chairman Michael O'Riordan says opening any spam message is a bad idea because it opens users to malicious software. And the fact that so many people still respond to spam is quite disappointing.
Just purely because there's been so many messages sent to the consumers saying, you know, don't click on spam. But on the other hand, I think there's another area which makes it even more cause for concern. And that really is that spam is used to deliver malware, the software that gets on our PCs to make them into bots. And bots in turn send more spam, because we know that about 85% of the spam sent on the internet comes from bots. So it becomes part of a vicious circle.
So the spammer gets rewards even when people don't buy the product or the service that they're pitching. They're happy to just have people merely opening their messages.
Well, the message itself, they may be pitching one thing and subtly actually doing something else. They may be pitching, you know, please buy my dodgy Rolex watch. On the other hand, what they're actually doing is getting you to, you know, click on a link and download malware. And then you become part of the botnet. So they win either way.
That's Michael O'Riordan with the Messaging Anti-Abuse Working Group. A small but interesting information technology moment at the State Department last week, where Secretary Hillary Clinton and Undersecretary Patrick Kennedy fielded questions from staffers. One guy who submitted a message via email wondered why the heck he couldn't use his favorite web browser.
Okay, our next question comes from Jim Finkel. Can you please let the staff use an alternative web browser called Firefox? I just moved to the State Department from the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and was surprised that State doesn't use this browser. It was approved for the entire intelligence community, so I don't understand why State can't use it. It's a much safer program. Thank you.
Well, apparently there's a lot of support for this suggestion. I don't know the answer. Pat, do you know the answer?
The answer is, at the moment, it's an expense question.
And you can't hear it here, but employees are yelling, it's free, it's free.
Nothing is free. It's a question of the resources to
And now comes the predictable answer from the undersecretary that, yeah, well, it's kind of free, but it costs us a lot of money to run multiple systems, blah, blah, blah. While it's probably true that the open-source Firefox browser has been historically less prone to malicious hacking than Microsoft's Internet Explorer, as the questioner alluded to, a reminder yesterday that even Firefox has problems. The foundation responsible for Firefox warned yesterday that there's a critical JavaScript vulnerability in the latest version of Firefox that installs malicious software on a user's machine if the victim visits certain websites infected with nasty code. This is Future Tense. I'm John Gordon.